here for this special service and to share in it. And that first song we sang, "We Come to Thee," that stood out to me because as we were singing that song, you know, this service is in remembering Christ. You know, without Christ, He's the one we come to. That's what that song's talking about. We come to Thee. And that's, we want to go there. And so this morning, as we remember that, I want to go to a familiar passage for the message here this morning. Isaiah 53, that very love passage that we have. I did ponder whether I should make a disclaimer because a preacher shouldn't have anything that'll distract from his message, and I'm sorry, the barber got a little carried away when he was giving me a haircut yesterday, so bear with me with it, but it will grow out again. But let's worship here, and Isaiah 53 is where I want to pull this as we ponder Jesus and what He has done for us, and I've titled the message this morning, "What a Savior." What a Savior. And when we read this, Isaiah 53, you can't help but it was a prophecy of the suffering of Christ. Isaiah writing there, prophecy of Christ coming and what he was going to all endure. And so we're going to read this passage, but not all at one time. We're going to read it verse by verse. It's a little different way of preaching, maybe. But we're going to take each verse and we're going to try to pull some thoughts and try to expound on these verses here. Because I think there's so much packed in here that we can look at. So we come to Isaiah 53, verse 1. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" We talk about who hath believed our report. It's a personal. We start out with these two questions that are here. Where's your faith at? What calls that call for faith? Who believed it? Do you believe God's word? Do you believe of a saving faith, a faith that's able by the blood that was shed from Jesus to save you? Who is going to believe it? The Word of God declares that Christ gave His life for you and I. We have seen Christ's power displayed in lives, in your life, I trust, and in my life. Who will believe this? And to whom is it revealed? Is it revealed in your life? Who's going to believe it no matter whatever the cost? And believing means that we are going to apply it to our lives and it's going to change our lives. Let's go to verse 2. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." We're going to pull a number of thoughts from this verse here, verse 2. A tender plant. I pondered that verse there, in the verses of a tender plant. It's a description of Jesus. As he was that tender plant, we think about his coming to this earth, the Immaculate Conception. We think about him as an infant, growing up in the home of Joseph and Mary. The training that went into his life. Tenderness that must have been there as Mary realized, here is the promised Messiah. But on through his life, Jesus had tenderness, that tender plant, that young infant that came in such a miraculous way. He grew up and he took time for the little children. He took time for the hurting about him. The lepers, the outcasts, he took time for them. He received the broken, the sad, the sinful, and took time and helped them. That was that tender plant. He takes time for you and I today. He wants to take time he's there for us, if we but take time to reach out to him. The other verse, a root out of a dry ground. When I read this, that little phrase there, I think about Jesus and the statement that was made with Nathanael. Ken, in John 1, verse 46, we would find that where it says, Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip just said to him, "Come and see. Come and see. There's something here." Nothing good was expected out of Nazareth, but it was prophesied he'd be from there, and he was a root out of that dry ground. No prophets had come from that area before. Read a verse in John 7. I'd like to read a verse. I should have put it in my notes, but I did not. John 7. Don't have to turn here. We're going to come back to Isaiah 53, so keep that spot. John chapter 7, verse 52. We find this. And they answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." We have that Nicodemus was saying to Jesus, "Art thou out of also of Galilee? For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Jesus was that one, that root out of dry ground. But they realized John chapter 7, verse 46, and the officers answered, never man spake like this man. As they pondered that root out of a dry ground, they realized there's something different here in this Jesus that was teaching them and preaching to them. But he's that root out of a dry ground. He has water. Think about the woman at the well. He brought water for her. And he's bringing water for you and I today. Because he is that sacrifice that came out of that dry ground. We also look in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. Let's go on to the next one. No form nor comeliness. The uncomely Christ. Comely speaks of majesty. You think about his coming to this earth. No splendid surroundings. Laid in a manger. There was no pomp or splendor. Yes, there was the angels that proclaimed it. There was the wise men that proclaimed it. But the Jews, their Savior, their Messiah, came in a way that they did not expect. He did not come as the king as they thought, but instead he came as a servant, willing to give his life for you and I. No beauty that we should desire him. There was nothing showy. And when you come to his sacrifice, is what we're remembering today, there's nothing pretty about that. His suffering and death, the nails, the thorns, the blood, the suffering. Nothing beautiful about that. And I believe as we think about the sacrifice that he made in giving his life, and we remember that this morning especially, as his visage was changed so much, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Are we thankful for that? On the cross, as he paid for our sins, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 4 in chapter 53. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Are you thankful for that sacrifice? That he made for us? I'm tying this back into that beauty. There is no beauty that we should desire him. And he is despised and rejected a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, he gave himself for that sacrifice. It wasn't because of the beauty that he was, but it's because he was a perfect man, the Son of God. And he was the one that was could make that provision for our sins to be washed away. Well, we want to go into verse 3 here. A rejected Savior is the points I pull from verse 3. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The sorrow of rejection. Do you know what the feeling is to feel rejected? Rejection can bring deep sorrow. I too was, as I prepared for this message, went and read the accounts in a number of the Gospels of the suffering that Jesus did. And when I think about the disciples that forsook him and fled, even that disciple Peter that said, "I'm not going to deny you." He denied him 3 times. Rejection can bring deep sorrow. But what took Christ through that? It was his love, his truth. As he viewed the bigger picture, and I thank Brother Andy for that devotional, as he submitted himself to the will of the Father. John 1:11 shares a verse there of where we realize that Jesus was rejected by his own countrymen. His own people rejected him. This was his life. A rejected person. Matthew 13, verse 53. Let me just read them. Matthew chapter 13. We see another rejection that Jesus faced in life. Matthew 13. This is his home country yet, as he was rejected by his own people in his home area. And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Rejection that he felt in his home area. From his people in his home area. We could look at many accounts of his rejection by the Pharisees of that day. The religious leaders. In fact, when you come to the crucifixion account, they were the ones that brought the accusations against him. The religious leaders of that day. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he's still feeling this rejection. His rejection of his religious leaders has put him there. And in verse 39, "And they that passed by, as Jesus hanging on the cross, wagged their heads, saying, Thou that destroyest the temples and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and elders, saying, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified him cast the same in their teeth." Do you catch the rejection that's happening? Here was our Savior Jesus. He had suffered rejection the whole way through his life by many people, not all people, but by many people. And he comes to the cross, and religious leaders had rejected him, and they had hung him passed accusations on him, is what I'm looking for. And enough that Pilate said they're going to crucify him. And then he's hanging on the cross, and they're still wagging their heads and rejecting him. I want you to think about it. Brother Andy touched a little bit on it in his devotional. As Christ hung there on the cross, as he bent himself to the will of the Father, I believe he could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him. I believe it's what the amount of the scripture says. But he chose to still give of himself. When they taunted him with, "Come down if you're the Christ. We'll believe on you." He chose to hang there. Jesus chose to bear that sorrow of rejection. And today, Jesus knows and cares about your sorrow. Whether it's through rejection, whatever it is, he cares about it. The sorrows of grief, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. The sorrows of grief, associated with grief. We're all acquainted with grief. Tears are common. Jesus knew about them. He actually, in as many of his, I always enjoyed those parables, or not parables, but the miracles is what I'm looking for. Those miracles of when he brought the dead to life. No more grief. He's acquainted with grief. The tomb of Lazarus, he cried tears. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Luke 19. I want to read those verses. Luke 19. Verse 41 through 44. We have that account of him weeping over Jerusalem. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." I want you to continue to ponder that. As Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he had a caring and a longing for those people that were within there. If you had known, he will help you today through your grief. He will understand and help us through the time. He was acquainted with all of it. Grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16, our sorrow of grief. He knew about the grace that's needed to help. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Put that those in our in that phrase. But think about that. His grace is sufficient. As in his grief for us. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient unto thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And that's Paul talking to the Corinthians. He's willing to go through the sorrow of grief with you and I. But he offers us strength, the grace we need, and the help we need. Let's go into Isaiah 53, verse 3 again, another one. "We hid, as it were, our faces from him." In the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples went to sleep. His arrest. Peter followed afar off. John would have been somewhere off as well. And the account says also that the rest of the disciples fled. They weren't staying there with him. Fulfilled scripture through that. Matthew 26:56, we find where it says about that, where the disciples forsook him and fled. We hid, as it were, our faces from him, his trial. I believe if you read the account of John, he went in with the trial to speak with the high priest. But when Peter was put to the test, he denied the Christ and any connection with him. Come to Matthew 27, verse 46. The crucifixion is happening. And this is what it says in Matthew 27, verse 46. You don't have to turn to that. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe Jesus knew that pain of rejection. A rejected Savior. But he does not leave us rejected. Touched on a few of them already, but I'm going to share you some more. This is some thoughts that Jesus leaves with us. Matthew 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. John 14, 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Hebrews 13, 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such thing as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This morning we serve a Savior that was rejected on this earth. But he will not reject you and I unless there's sin in our lives and we allow sin in our lives. Sin that was never paid by the washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, his own blood that he gave for us. When we've availed ourselves to it and we have washed our lives clean, we can realize that we are serve a Christ that will never leave us comfortless. We will never serve a Christ that will ever reject us. Let's go to verse 4 of chapter 53. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We have griefs and sorrows in life. Sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses, you name them, they're there. But the biggest sickness, sorrow, grief in our life is our sin nature that is born within us. He bears it up. He carries it on himself. He carried his own griefs and sorrows, yet he was willing to carry yours and mine. We look to him for the salvation from our greatest sickness, our sin. Are we thankful for that today? Let's remember that as we go through this service. Verse 5, a suffering Savior, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Remember Harry always doing that personally for you and I? Put your name in there. Think about that. A very, very precious verse. Wounded for me. How was he wounded? Well, we know he was pierced. There was a crown of thorns put on his head. Before he was pierced, he was nailed to the cross. He gave his life for you and I. He was wounded for you. He was wounded for me. Let's make that personal for us. Why was he wounded? For our transgressions. Transgressions is that meaning of an act that goes against a rule or a law rule or code or conduct or an offense. So we have We did wrong. We have the sin nature within us, and we have that nature that wants that we're going to go wrong if we don't curb it and bring it into Christ's plan for our life. He was wounded for that. Not just for us, but for the sins of the whole world. It was God's plan for our salvation today and for the salvation for all men. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and make themselves available to that. So the wounds were for me. The bruises that it talks about in this verse, they were for me. We already talked about that. Those bruises that must have been there from the whipping, the beating. Maybe even the thorns. The cross as he tried to carry it. He was bruised for me. But most of all, let's remember, he bruised something more importantly, and that was the serpent's head that was predicted. That man was going to bruise the serpent's head, or the woman was going to bruise the serpent's head. Genesis 3:15 says about that, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and not her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And it sets free those that are bruised. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Why was Christ bruised? For our iniquities, my sinfulness, my wickedness. What a gross injustice it seems like. You don't have to pay for them. Christ paid for them. He just calls you and invites you to live for him. Are you willingly availing yourself to that? Let's go to verse 5 again. What else did he bring for me? "Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Peace for me. Peace for me. What else did he bring? He brought me peace. There is a price for peace today. Spiritually, there is a price for peace, and that is it needed our sins washed away. To be in right relationship with God, to have that peace with God, we needed a blood sacrifice, and our Savior Jesus paid that price, that sinless Son of God. Our sins had separated us from God, and we were not at peace. But we were enemies of God. But now we can have that peace that he brought to us. Peace for me. Peace was made at the cross. Colossians 1:20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." We today can have peace with God through faith in Christ and his shed blood. Romans 5:1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom also we have access, entrance, or introduction into the faith by this grace, wherein we firmly stand and rejoice in the hope and glory of God." Let's go to verse 6. In this verse 6, I see a word in there. And that is all. This verse begins and ends with all. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." I see man's lost condition. All men are in a lost condition. That happened because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. Sin brings death, spiritually and physically. Sin brings with it rebellion, and we are turned to our own way, as it talks about in here. men are in that. But Christ paid it all. Last part of that verse. The Lord hath laid on Him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all, if we avail ourselves to it. Let's go to verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I see the prophesying of the crucifixion. So I was reading that. He was silent when falsely, wrongly accused. Even so much so that Pilate wondered about it and was amazed by it. Sold and betrayed by one of his 12. He was wrongly accused. In the Old Testament, the lambs that were offered to cover sin, they had no choice in the sacrifice. They were drugged there. Jesus, our lamb that was sacrificed, again, I want to highlight, he went willingly and quietly, willingly gave his life. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now verse 8 and 9, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of his people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. We find some thoughts of his prophesied of his crucifixion, taken from prison and judgment. Verse 9 is where I'm looking for. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. The thief. He stole things and he was rich, I believe. There's a wicked man. We know that last of that verse 9. He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. We also find, as we think about, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. The other part that could be with that rich, I want you to ponder about. When Jesus was taken down from the cross, after he had died, he was put in a tomb that was owned by a rich man. Ponder that. It's all fulfilling a prophecy. Are we thankful for that? Verse 10. Just a few verses here yet, and then we're going to close. Don't have as many thoughts on these last few verses. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You think God was happy? Rejoicing? I don't believe so. But when he looked at the whole plan of you and I today, the plan of salvation, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, for he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, Christ's soul, when you make it an offering for your sin, he shall see his seed, that he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The cross was the plan. The crucifixion was not an afterthought. It was a plan. That as God, knowing all things, he knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin. And the plan was laid out. This is going how it's going to happen. My son Jesus is going to be that salvation. And when he saw his son willingly give his life, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Taking the words that was said as Jesus came out from his baptism. Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Again, talking about Christ and how we today can be justified just as we've never sinned because of that sacrifice that was made on Calvary. My goal in this message and through the service here today for you and I is, can we grasp the sacrifice made? We don't forget. When we sin, we don't forget our sin. Because it can come up in our conscience to niggle us or to be there again. But Jesus' death, because of his death and his provision made for you and I, when we come and confess our sins and live for Christ, but as we confess our sins, Christ's blood makes it just as if we've never sinned. But he doesn't just leave us there. Let's go to verse 12 yet. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bare the sins of many. And that last phrase there, and made intercession for the transgressor. And I want to tell you this morning what I want to put in your thoughts this morning. That interceding work of Christ is still going on today. He still knows what it is like, that suffering and death. He knows what it's like to go through life in the trials. But he came through perfect, sinless. But he knows he was tempted in all points like as you and I are, yet without sin. And that man is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I. Are you thankful for that? He knows your temptations. He knows the struggles in your life. And yet he's here to help you and I. And he's there interceding for us, pleading for our cause, trying to help us through life to be victorious. Have you stood alone at the cross? Have you looked up to Jesus as he hung there, shed his blood for you and I? Has that tender plant sprung up in your life as Jesus was that tender plant? Has he touched your life? Are you continuing to live for him? When we know that, let's remember this morning his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and be so thankful for it. Have you thanked Jesus for the sacrifice he paid for personally my sins, personally your sins? Put your name there. He paid the price for so that my sins can be washed away. What better thanks can we give to Christ than to give of our lives, ourselves, to him? Let's read the first six verses of Isaiah chapter 53 yet, in closing. The first six verses. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. May the Lord bless you.